they will know that they've been playing against the famous Cold Dark Blues.
A very good morning, listeners, as we begin our footy weekend in the best possible way each Saturday from 9 a.m. when you pop your toast and pour your favourite brew right here on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. As yet another day dawns for the loyal WA Bluebaggers on day 8,632 since the mighty Blues last held the Premiership Cup aloft. Your hosts, as always, are the WA Blues, your official WA network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, with myself, WA Blues Chairman John Allen, joined by panellists Melanie Hall, Craig Beck, and the dulcet tones of Andy Jones. Good morning to you first, Andy. And, mate, what have you got for us on the program this morning?
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me on again. We reviewed the remaining AFL round, including tips. Our special guest live interview today is none other than Blues speedster David Cunningham. Our regular segment, The Shirt Front, pulls no punches when, as always, we cross live to the hyphen, David Rees-Jones, as we review the Blues last week, as well as this week's GWS clash. Who is putting their hand up for senior side selection from the Northern Blues? Upcoming WA Blues event details, specials, memberships, number plates, and a whole raft of other WA Blues and Carlton Football Club info, and anything else footy that we can squeeze in right here on Breakfast with the Blues.
Thank you very much, Andy, and yet another great show today. But as always, we couldn't bring it to the listeners without the support of our sponsors. Major sponsor Hyundai WA, platinum sponsors Allmark & Associates, Tech Tiger, Master Picture Framers, and of course, the home of the Carlton Football Club in WA, Empire, at 220 Grandison Highway, Left Lane. It's only a stone throw from the Crown and about a medium-range catapult to Optus Stadium, and folks, it really is the best venue to watch all sport live, so get down to the Empire. As always, at this time on a Saturday morning, we introduce the lady with her finger on the pulse of all the week's AFL news. As we say, a very good morning to Melanie Hall for the first time. And Mel, what have you got for us?
Morning, guys. Well, starting off with, I'm going to touch on Tom Boyd's retirement. Guys, what do we think? He's 23 years of age, walking away from 1.5 mil, leaving the Bulldogs with a great little bank there to spend on some salary, and this comes down to another mental health issue, guys, that we've been touching on over the last few weeks.
Yeah, my heart goes out to him. I mean, another victim to the Black Dog. It's really sad.
It's obviously you hit pretty close to home when you watched that interview with Bevo, you know, like his,
Bevo nearly in tears. So, yeah. I've gone goosebumpy again. Just
we had Kenny Hunter on last week talking about the issue, and that does become a growing issue and concern. And 23 years old, and when you think of all the scrutiny and all that money, it really does highlight. You know, people can say these guys, they get paid a lot, they should this and that, but they're young guys. They don't know the pressures, so only they know. And but we wish Boydie well, don't we?
We do, absolutely. Yeah,
and more people should talk about it because it helps reduce the stigma.
Well, Andy, I think it was a show that you weren't actually on. I went through a list of names of the guys that have been struggling with mental health in and out, and the list seems to just be getting longer and longer. And I think it is something that the AFL really need to look at, and the stigma attached with the game and the social media expectations of these guys.
Yeah. I think, as you put it, Andy, I mean, like, you know, it's becoming more prevalent now. People are opening up and talking about it more, and I think, Mel, that's why the lists are getting longer and longer, you know.
Absolutely, and football can be a wonderful platform for exposing these issues and getting it out there so that people do talk about it, get the awareness out there, and hopefully gets a little bit more support. Anything else for us this week, Mel?
I'm just going to touch on the Dockers and Nat Fyfe and how Ross Lyons actually has come out and said that he thinks that Fyfe needs to change his game plan and his technique, because if he's going to be another chance for a Brownlow with his rough conduct and the way that he did get off with, too, by the way. You know, what do you guys think of that?
Ross Lyon is just a scary man. I a couple of years ago, I was having a few drinks at the Freo Metros upstairs, not ashamed to say, and look, as the players there are well known for hanging around that haunt, and I was talking to one of the players and who turned around and said he was going to be the next Liam Jones. Now, I'm not going to mention the player's name, but he's a guy who's great around the goals, loves kicking a snag, good forward, and he was just bemused and didn't know where he was at. And it's not an uncommon story from that club. So, you know, to think he's going to tinker with the five? Surely not.
He's done pretty well. He's one of the highest rated players in the AFL at the moment.
Keep your elbows down, Fifey. And same for you, Mr. Ablett.
I was going to say.
Well, we got that in the news, Mel.
Again, Gary Ablett. Seriously, guys, what does it
take? It's a shocking look. I don't care what medical reports or anything else say. You can look at it 1,000 times. Like I said last week, from the previous game, he's come at him. He's intentionally raised his elbow, got him in the side of the back of the neck. It should be a week straight away and then go from there. I think it's an absolute disgrace. And protected species, I don't know, but they're getting it wrong.
And then you look at Sammy Walsh, who got a $1,500 fine for pushing, was it the goalie, into the path of the umpire?
I watched that about 1,000 times.
Let's give Walshy the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. He probably didn't know that the umpire was going to be running towards there. But
and poor bugger's a first-year draft, number one draft pick, so he's probably only on about $300,000 a year. Now give him a break, $1,500. Poor kid.
Good on Walshy. Well, I shouldn't really say it like that, but Dugowie is still in question, also whether he's going to be playing this week because of the...
But that's enough airtime for the Collingwood players. So, we're giving Mel some minutes here today. Yeah. Got anything else for us, Mel?
I was just going to touch on the top 10 of the mid-season rookie draft. That's been... There's some names that have been thrown up at the moment.
I get the top four.
Top four. Okay, Frank Anderson from the Northern Blues.
Yes.
Jai Bolton from Claremont.
Hmm.
Josh DeLuca and Jordan Foote.
I like Anderson. Blues people that follow the Northern Blues will know why.
Bolton's up there,
Bolton.
Though.
Bolton.
Yep.
How old's Jai Bolton?
Jai Bolton is 27.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Wow. Never too late, is it?
Yeah, well,
that's
two
good.
Words for you there, Blaine Bocurst.
But that's about it. That's a wrap for me, guys.
Okay. Excellent. Well, at this time, we'll cross over for the first time to Craig. Good morning, Craig. And let's have a look at those remaining round predictions.
Yeah, okay. Well, good morning, John. Good morning, listeners. So, obviously, we know the result of last night's game where the Eagles just managed to hang on and get over the line for that one. But with the games left for this week, coming up this afternoon, the Pies versus the Saints. With Collingwood currently one of the best first quarter teams in the comp so far. So, it'll be interesting to see if a first quarter blitz can bury the Saints early, but the Saints will be looking to break a hellish 3-week losing streak. So expecting them to fight hard, but I think the Pies will be too strong this week. Mel, should we go your way?
Oh, after last week, I've got to go the Pies, unfortunately.
Pies.
Got to go the Maggies.
Also this afternoon, we've got the Lions taking on the Crows at the Gabba. Lions looking to break their 7-year drought against the Crows, but I think the Crows, with their stunning defensive form, they'll be looking to make it 5 straight wins this afternoon. So I'll be tipping the Lions, I think, at home.
Adelaide for me.
Crows.
Yeah, Crows for me as well.
Okay. This afternoon down at the Cattery, we've got the Cats versus the Bulldogs. I think this one's pretty much a foregone conclusion. Probably tipping the Cats to prevail. And I think Tim Kelly will be looking to impress and increase his trade value this week.
Definitely Geelong.
Meow.
Jono? Was that you? Sorry, I thought that was Andy over there.
Sorry.
All right, moving right along. Essendon versus Freo this evening at Marvel. Shaping up to be a pretty good game, I think, for both teams. The Bombers, if they lose this, it will put their finals chance and season in doubt for sure. And I think with Freo struggling to score more than 60 points since their round 5 clash against the Giants, I'm expecting the Bombers to come out too strong and take the points.
Yeah, Bombers for me.
I hope the Dockers smash the Bombers.
Mm. I've got Freo in what I think will be actually a close but horrible game.
Okay. Roos versus Swans at Blundstone in Hobart. Well, I'm not sure what we can say about this. I think the most exciting thing that's going to come from this game is if Dane Rampey decides to climb the post again.
What was his other comment this week?
Oh, I didn't hear the other comment.
Oh, to the umpire.
To the umpire?
You sound like a little girl.
Yeah. Got him in a little bit of strife.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go for Sydney, and only because North gave us a touch-up a couple of weeks ago, so I'm hoping they go down.
North for me, sorry.
Yeah, shin bonus for me too.
Yeah, removing the emotion there, Craig. I'm going for North.
Yeah. Port Adelaide versus Gold Coast tomorrow afternoon at Adelaide. Port have assembled a group of top ball winners, leading them to number one clearance team in the comp, but their kicking efficiency by their big-name midfielders has been letting them down a bit. So despite this, though, I'm tipping Port to be too strong.
Port for me.
Yeah, if you can drop Willem Drew, then you've got a pretty good team. So Port power for me.
Power.
Richmond and Hawks tomorrow afternoon at the G. Hawthorn are coming off a shock win against GWS last week. But I think the Tigers, even though they're a bit injury depleted, I think they'll be too strong.
Definitely Richmond for me, this one.
Tigers.
Scary. Tigers sitting sixth. They've been pretty ordinary so far this year. Just coming into a bit of form. Yeah.
Getting a few of their bigs back
in. I'll get over the Hawks. Yep. Don't worry about that.
And finally, the last game of the round is the Giants hosting our beloved Blues tomorrow afternoon at Giants Stadium. After an agonising loss last week, I hope we didn't burn too many matches in that effort, but I'm still expecting our boys to pull off the upset of the round.
We need a win. We need to win this one, guys.
They'll be fired up.
Yep. Canelio out. I'm tipping the Blues.
Definitely upset on the cards here, realistically. If we come out with that same intensity and ball movement as we had last week, the Giants can be a bit vulnerable under pressure, so go the Blues. And we'll move on to Andy, just with any injury updates for us, mate, on the Blues list.
Yeah, cheers, John. So Harrison McCready, he recovered from an Achilles issue, and he'll play against GWS tomorrow for his first game in a long, long time, I'm pretty sure. Correct me if I'm wrong there.
2017.
Wow, there you go. Nick Newman recovered from a jarred knee and is a much-needed addition to the back line against GWS tomorrow. Kimler Boys, he's recovered ahead of schedule from a hamstring injury and will play in his first game of the year for the Northern Blues. Liam Jones is out with concussion for another week, although it does say TBC on CarltonFC.com.au. Zach Fisher recovered from a cork and will play against GWS tomorrow. Lockie Plowman is on the sidelines for 1 to 2 weeks with a fractured cheekbone. And my question is, where was the free kick for high contact on Lockie Plowman? But anyway, Cade Simpson is sidelined for 1 to 2 weeks with a hamstring. Tom Williamson is out for 3 weeks after hyperextending his back. Tom DeConning, our up-and-coming ruckman, he has 3 weeks left in his recovery from a PCL injury. And as we all know, Sam Doherty and Jared Pickett are out for the rest of the season with knee injuries.
And Mel, have we got any milestones this week?
None.
I thought we did.
Did we have something?
We'll check that in the break. I thought we had one. I don't know, but I am coming off my one-hour power nap, so we'll see. Now, I'm going to put a bit of pressure on Becky here for the Blues versus Pies review from last week. We'll be chatting with the hyphen a little bit later, so the Agatha Christie novel that is my run sheet might have to be compressed a little bit.
Yeah, I have definitely abbreviated it a little bit, but let's see how we go. So, as we know, after the disappointment of last week, Carlton responded with fight and passion to take it up to the old enemy, but sadly, we fell agonisingly short. In a captivating contest in front of about 69,000 at the G, the Blues led late in the final term before a late flurry saw the Pies come away with a 19-point win. We started the day inaccurately until a clever shark and dribble from Charlie Curnow put us on the board, and after a low-scoring first term, we trailed by just 3 points. Our new-look defence did well to stem the Pies' momentum early in the second quarter, but it was big Harry Mackay that gave us the lift we needed with a crafty goal, and from then on in, it was all Blues.
That was exciting, that change there.
Very exciting,
yep,
yes.
It was.
Yep. And then with handy goals from Gibbon, Silvani and McGovern, Carlton moved ahead for the first time, with Cripper once again at his best, notching up 12 disposals in the second quarter alone. So with scores level heading into the third, we didn't let up with one off the boot of Mitch McGovern. And from then on, it was good old-fashioned arm wrestle. So Carlton hit the front in clearance count, and it wasn't long before we converted our midfield dominance into attack with 3 quick goals to push their lead out to 11 points at the final change. With the Pies starting the final quarter with the momentum, slotting 2 quick goals until a dependable Cripper took matters into his own hands, with the goal to put victory within reach and the spark we needed. And then with 10 minutes remaining, Cunner's got his second, and then with another goal from McGovern, we dared to dream of 4 points. But the old enemy would not give up without a fight, and the final 5 goals of the game saw them confine us to yet another agonising defeat for this year. Unfortunately, another one that got away. So the moment of the match for us that had all blue baggers daring to dream was in the fourth quarter when after the Pies stormed out of the gate and the clock looking like our enemy, Cripper, the skipper, stepped in to gather, sidestep and sail one through to give us momentum once more. Have we got time for the three things that we've learned or...?
Let's just say quickly, though, it was a fantastic game and it was great to see a great Carlton Collingwood clash in front of 70,000 people again, wasn't it? You know, instead of a bit of a morning, which we've been coughing lately, so yeah.
And John, and also another great event for us at the Empire. We had an awesome crowd turn up and it was just... beautiful.
Amazing,
like the sun was shining. It was a great day. The atmosphere was intense.
100 people sitting out there enjoying the game. Got the big Charlie Curnow frame jumper there that was our first prize. It was everyone enjoyed the day. Now, we haven't got much for the Northern Blues review because they had the bye last week. But Andy, recapping from the week before, who's putting their hand up? And any surprises with the selections in regard to that?
Well, Matt Kennedy and Hugh Goddard, they look the goods. Obviously, Will Satterfield had his 24 touches and was deservedly recalled to the AFL side. The scorers were Kerr with two goals and Fasolo and Lobb. They kicked goals. They were players that hit the scoreboard in that outing against North Melbourne. Those guys might push up into AFL side selection. The bests against North Melbourne were, Goddard, Kennedy and Satterfield. So, back to you, John.
Nice one. So just before we go to a break, I'll let everyone know the next couple of big events that we got. Round 11 versus the Bombers on Sunday, the 2nd of June, 1:20 p.m. bounce down. Get down to the Empire. We're going to have a bit of a kiddies day. We've had our family day, which was fantastic against Hawthorn, 150-plus supporters. We're going to do for the kiddies day is have the handball competition and whichever child wins... will be invited with their parents, of course, to come into the studio and sit in and ask a couple of the questions to the hyphen and the special guests. So it'll be a nice one and plenty of activities as usual for the kids with all our giant Jenga sets and then giant pickup sticks and games and, excuse me.
So it's fair to say that your young Jack won't be entering the handball competition because if he takes after his father, he can't handball.
Lucky it's not the dropkick competition because he kicks it like his old man. His old man's a bit of a dropkick as well. So guys, just a quick announcement regarding the pre-match function, round 15, on the 30th of June, also a Sunday. It's a 3:20 p.m. bounce down at Optus. Our pre-match function is going to start from 10 a.m. The Empire are opening up early for us. We had 500 people lock out at the event last year, so we've had to move venues. So we're having it at the Empire. They can cater double that. And the Empire have graciously agreed to go halves with us in some coach buses, so no one will be left behind. There's no parking at the stadium, of course. There's free parking for about 180 cars at the Empire. We're going to make sure that everybody gets there and no one gets left behind with the coach buses. More details to come regarding that in the coming weeks. But we do need to go to a break right now. When we do come back... from a few words from our sponsors. We cross live to very excited about this one, guys. Carlton Speedstar, the one and only man in form as well, David Cunningham. Go Blues.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. More information on the WA Blue schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues!
Station sponsor. Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers. It's okay. TechTiger can help.
For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au.
TechTiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Blue Baggers of WA. Be part of Carlton's record membership as the club chases 60,000 members for the first time in its history. It is time to prove that you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria. In 2019, the region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation, and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership. carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a Blue Bagger.
Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dog Blues.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, and we hope you're enjoying the program so far with myself, Chairman of the WA Blues, John Allen, fellow panellists with me today, Mel, Craig and Andy. We're very fortunate at this time that we have our very own informed Blue Bagger on the line right now, a young man who's battled through injury issues during his short time thus far at the Blues, but having overcome those, he has now added a great goal sense to his game, which was an early part of his reputation before he was drafted in, and to go with his gift of speed, I speak of none other than David Cunningham, and welcome to Breakfast with the Blues, David. How are you today?
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
No worries at all. David, you came to Carlton via the 2015 draft, 23rd overall, along with lesser lights, Jacob Wiedering, Harry McKay, Charlie Curno, Jack Silvani, just a couple of sausages in there, and rookies Jesse Glass, McCasker, Andrew Gallucci, a big man from Arizona, Matt Korchek as well in that group. I actually sat with you in your very first pre-season function. I don't know if you remember with Windows. I only just remember it. It's had a few frothies. But, mate, things didn't quite work out for the rookies. However, right at the minute, the core group of yourself, Weeders, Chaz Curno, Jack, are all playing pretty good footy. So how's the synergy and confidence going and moving forward? Do the group sort of as a whole realise their full scary potential if they stay together, keep working hard for the ultimate goal of sustained success?
Yeah, I guess it's good that we have that core group still together. We're all playing at the moment, and I think we're just getting better every game and every season. To be honest, it's pretty upbeat and positive around the club still. We know we're not far away from winning a lot more games than we are at the moment. We just have to, you know, put a four-quarter effort in, because at the moment we're probably playing, you know, three quarters, three and a half quarters, two and a half quarters of good footy, but it's not getting the job done. So we've addressed that, and hopefully we can come out this weekend and play a good brand of footy across the whole game and get a result this time.
Absolutely, and the supporters over here in WA at our big functions there, when we talk, even after the game, it was all positive stuff, wasn't it? So we're feeling it as well. I'm just going to cross over to Mel for a question there, Dave.
Yep.
Morning, Dave. How are you going?
Good, thank you.
Good. Dave, you began your football journey with the Oakley Chargers, juniors and seniors clubs, and built a reputation as a good decision maker who is strong in the air, can weave through traffic and break the lines. We've seen all of that and more with your natural energy, enthusiasm and your ability around the goals, and you do love a snag. Can you tell us who are your strongest early football influences were and who helped you at the young age to reach the level that you're at?
Yep. Well, I think early on it was probably my dad. He took a pretty keen interest in my footy. I think looking back, his advice was pretty solid. It was probably just like the fundamentals, but that sort of set me up pretty early on. And then as I sort of moved up through the ranks, I think he sort of took a step back and let the coaches sort of do their role. and develop me as a player, but there wasn't sort of one particular mentor that that got me through. It was probably up to me. I sort of had to take ownership of my career and what direction I wanted it to head in and what things in my game that I needed to improve on. Since I've got to the club, I've probably been closest working with Paddy Cripps in the midfield. He's obviously probably the best clearance and stoppage player in the game, so he's a good one to learn off. And just at training, going up against him, you learn a lot. So he's one, and at the club as well now, we've got Brent Stannon, who's a development coach. I do a lot of sort of craft work with him, a lot of touch, being clean over the ball. So those two are sort of the main guys. And then with my forward work, David Teague's the forward coach, and I work pretty closely with him, working on marking and my forward leading pattern. So those three at the moment are probably the biggest influences at the moment at the club.
I'm just going to chuck a very quick one ad lib in there before I throw over to Craig. You drafted in 2015, same year Juddy retired. Did you spend any time early in your career with Juddy at all? Did he have any input or influence on you?
I think he cleared out of the joint pretty quickly.
Yeah.
He didn't want to stick around and be around the players, but obviously now he's back in there as a director of football. I didn't sort of have much to do with him at the start. I've spoken to him a few times this year in his new role, but he was probably my idol growing up, watching him at the Eagles and obviously the Blues. But yeah, he was obviously an explosive player, so someone I sort of try and model my game on. I'd probably like to speak to him a bit more about my game going forward, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, wouldn't hurt, would it? I'll chuck you over to Becky for a question.
Yeah, g'day, Cunners. It's Craig Beck here, mates. I think John just touched on it in the intro a bit, just about a bit of a run with injuries. So just, you know, a couple of things. Wanted to get it from you, from the horse's mouth. How's the body holding up with the rigours of the AFL system? And also, we're hearing a lot about Andrew Russell's influence on the group, so just want to get some comments from you around how he's helped you with managing the body.
Yeah, the body's going well. In the first three seasons, I probably had a few issues, but they all had a reason for happening, like that was preventable, so I think I've learnt quite a bit in those 3 years on how to manage my body better than I was. I think I've got it right this year in this pre-season. I did the full pre-season. I was unluckily smacked in the ribs, and I lacerated a kidney early on after round one. So that was the only thing that kept me out. And apart from that, I've had a good run this year. So
I'm
looking to continue that. And as far as Andrew Russell, yeah, he's been amazing with the group. He's a very good communicator, very clear. But probably the best thing about him is that he's got a sort of a wide skill set. So obviously he's in charge of high performance in the training that we do, but he also has a good knowledge of the body, so he can help individuals out during the week. And then he also has a good knowledge of sort of the psychological side of the game. So, you know, if I had a question about mental preparation or something, he'd probably be the guy to go to.
Yep. They're good.
Andy Jones here, Cunners. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks.
Good stuff. Good to talk to you, mate. In a year where you were the only recognised midfielder recruited amongst key position players, apart from Cripps, David Teague and Brent Stanton, who were the players at the club that took you under their wing to work on your AFL craft, and who remained your biggest influences working on your game?
Those three probably at the moment are the main influences, but early on, I think when I first got there, it was probably Cooper, Murph, and also Bryce Gibbs, who's now moved on, but they were pretty big names, all in the centre for us, so yeah, just working alongside them about midfield craft and Merson elite runner, so how he runs to get the ball or to open up space for others was invaluable.
Yeah, g'day mate, John here again. Just quickly before I chuck this next question to you, what do they call you around the club? You know, we hear Cunners a lot. Is that, do you get Richie? What's the preferred nickname for you around the club, mate?
Yeah, it is Cunners. I think Richie was before most of our time, but it's Cunners at the moment.
That'd make Crip,
not
Crip
too much
of
the
Fonz. That'd make Crip of the Fonz, wouldn't it? If it was.
Hey.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
It hasn't got around.
Nice one. Mate, this year we're seeing significant improvement from the young group across the board. But it has to be said that the WA faithful over here are loving seeing the WA Blues in the great tradition of other great WA players in the past, like Kenny Hunter and a few others we've touched on. But just seeing Cripper, SPS, Fish and co playing as well as they are and attracting the eye of the supporters. Mate, how annoying are the WA boys getting in the change room now? They owning the Sand Groper title, the WA carrying the team over the line. Are they getting a bit annoying? What's going on with the WA boys?
Well, they stick to themselves a bit. I know Fish and Cripper are living together now in Q, so, yeah, they keep to themselves, and sometimes we don't hear much from them, but they're great fellas, not going to lie.
Yeah. And, typical WA boys, they've got a bit of a zoo happening in the house there, apparently, with pets. Nice work. Mate, look, we've got to wrap it up there. We've run out of time, but, look, I can confidently speak on behalf of the entire WA Blues community, mate, when I say that we're loving your work at the moment. You're really running into some good form. We wish you all the best in the future with your body and hope that you can sustain that. We're all right behind you, mate. The WA supporters over here are growing in numbers again, just a true reflection of how the memberships are going. So, mate, wish you continued success. Look forward to you bagging a few snags today. And before we go, do you know how to hold a W with your hands, mate?
Yeah, I can do that for you.
Let's get the big WA Blues W out there if you kick a snag, mate. We look forward to seeing that one. Mate, have a great day tomorrow. We look forward to a wonderful performance against the Giants, and go Blues.
Will do. Thanks very much,
thanks,
guys.
Gunners.
Cheers, Gunners. Good one, mate.
David Cunningham, everyone. What did you think of that?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It was a good candid chat.
Yep.
Yeah. nice work, guys. No, look, he's running into some good football. He's a great young kid. I remember that pre-season launch, sitting there with him and Jesse Glass McCasker, a couple of stone-faced young kids at their first pre-season launch. In a big room full of Carlton legends and everything else, and you know, I was glad I was there to be the idiot at the table and have a few frothies and try and loosen things up, which it did it as the night progressed. But I did spend a bit of time with him and Jesse, just talking to them about footy and life and their journeys. And mate, even back then, very focused, very switched on kid. And you know, he does seem to have overcome a lot of those injury issues now, and you can really see that in the confidence of his performance as he strings a few games together. So wish him well, and anything else, any favourite moments from the old Cunners?
Oh, he's just a massive positive for the team, and I feel like we play better when he's on the park. Would have loved to have had him out there against Gold Coast and maybe snared the win.
What do you think of his newly sort of, well, I wouldn't say newly defined role, but he has come into the forward line a little bit more. He was touted with that midfield group, but the injury issues and everything, so they've brought him back through the forward line, but he's becoming a very, very versatile forward mid.
Yeah, well, the proof is in the pudding. I mean, you just have to look at his goal sense. He snags goals pretty much every game he plays, so.
And it's good to have that versatility if you can float through the middle as well and, you know, and then move up forward and kick a couple, so. What we need.
And I'm just going to touch on it again. How important is Patrick Cripps? Like Cripper, he is everyone's mentor,
It just true leader. Out.
And like I said last week, you know, he's so passionate about the team growing and going ahead. And it doesn't seem like he ever puts, he's not putting himself first. You know, like we mentioned, he could come over and play for the Eagles. He could come home. But he's so passionate about this team and group of the Blues.
You look at games like last week. Can you imagine being part of that young group and having a guy like that who's only 24 years old himself leading that group the way he is? It's got to inspire you. It's got to make you want to raise your game and help him out. you know, as long as his body stays good, we have a bit of luck with him and keep him on the park as well. These guys are just going to grow with every game with him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. Now, what we'll do is we'll just remind everyone, we touched on the memberships. So it's not too late to get a membership because they're as little as $60 each. And, you know, we want to continue these rolling memberships with the club. So you can get one this year and get that automatically rolling into the next year and the year after that. So from as little as $60, you can get your membership. That's a True Blue membership with all your standard member benefits. You can get your digital membership for $110, your interstate membership starting from $120 for an adult, $90 concession, $70 for juniors, or a family of four, two adults, two kids for $310, which that very importantly includes voting rights. So we really encourage the interstate supporters to go for their interstate memberships because it gives you a lot more benefits and a lot more rights to have a say in the club. Oh, pregnant pause. Here we go. Just remind everyone that the WA Blues sponsor Jared Garlett. He's having a bit of a tough time at the moment trying to break back into the sides. Had a slow start to the year, but we wish Jared very, very well. And Jared was recruited from the Gold Coast Suns via South Fremantle back in 2014. He was a first-round draft pick, actually, at number 15. And in 2017, he was number 78 overall. So, look, he had some personal issues, came back to WA. Carlton have given him another go. He has worked very, very hard, Jared, and we wish him well, and we hope to see him back in the senior side, whether it be running around across half back or kicking a few snags as a tricky forward. So Jared, and to the Garlett family out there, if you're listening, g'day, good morning, and we hope to see Jared back in there very, very soon.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
And I think we are ready to cross to another break, but when we come back, as always, the shirt front with David Rees-Jones. We've got a lot to talk about after the big game last week against our old foes. So we look forward to that one, and we'll see you soon. Go Blues.
Blue Baggers of WA. Be part of Carlton's record membership as the club chases 60,000 members for the first time in its history. It is time to prove that you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria. In 2019, the region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation, and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership.carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a Blue Bagger.
Station sponsor.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. From our functions and events, you can find out about further upcoming local events. Carlton Football Club memberships, purchase of local WA Blues merchandise, season raffle tickets, even Carlton number plates for your car. Just look for one of the committee shirts and ask one of your friendly representatives for any information. We as a committee also help Carlton with pre- and post-match functions whenever the Carlton Football Club teams travel to Perth. Attending the pre-match functions gives you the chance to win match day ground passes. More information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues!
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers.
It's okay. Tech Tiger can help.
For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au.
Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dog Blues.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, as always, hosted by myself, WA Blues Chairman John Allen, with fellow panellists today, Mel, Craig and Andy. Pardon me. As always, it's that time of the program where we dive deeper into the Blues' performance last week and this week's game with a positive outlook, but not without a whack or two if and where required, as we lower our lead shoulder and barrel straight into the most anticipated breakfast radio segment in Perth, as I take a breath. Australia and the greatest sporting universe in general, the shirt front, as we do each week. Our very warm welcome now goes to tribunal love child and great friend of Breakfast with the Blues, the one, the only, Mr. David Rees-Jones. Good morning, Hyphen. What's cooking, mate?
Good morning. That's probably one of the best introductions I've ever had in my life.
We're getting better every
tribunal
week.
Mate, love it's like,
for me, it's like practicing kissing in the mirror. I do every morning. I get up, I work on it, and I think it's getting a little bit better.
And
the
interesting thing is, Hyphen, he's got the photo of you on the mirror as well, so...
Well, it's not very often I get left speechless, but there it is. So, mate, very unlucky not to do Throne. Obviously, arguably the best midfield right now in the comp. So, yeah, a bit disappointed with the loss last week. But, mate, let's just say it now. Cripper, what a player and what a great lot of mongrel he displays for our up-and-comers as well, which is really important in this game still. So you can only take positives out of the performance all round and being led by such a great man. From your point of view, what do you think about that, Dave?
Oh, look, he's unbelievable. He's probably the best footballer running around in the league at the moment. And, you know, even towards the end of that match when it had to be won and you know, he just missed the goal. But, you know, he was the one who put his hand up. He wanted to get the footy. He wanted to put his hands. He wanted to do something. And, you know, he's probably the only one at Carlton who really, you know, put his hand up and wanted to do it, but you know, and Collingwood, you know, they had a lot of experienced players like Sidebottom, Dowie, Pimbleby, and the list goes on, Talor and so forth. They all, you know, they all put their hands up at the end there, and they were able to get them over the line. So, you know, hopefully our kids will learn a bit from that, and they'll be the ones that, you know, Harry McKay or Charlie Turner, these guys, sooner rather than later, they're going to be putting their hands up and saying, well, I want to be the one to win the game. You know, they come in with shells a little bit, but look, it was, you know, it's good to forget that, you know, that, well, I think they still are the flag favourites Collingwood at the moment. The three quarters and 20 minutes or whatever it was, you know, we had them on toast, so yeah, they're not that far off it.
Yeah, spot on there, and it was a great game to watch too. So I'll just throw you over to Andy.
Good morning, Hyph. How you doing, mate?
All good, Andy. The sun's going to come, so... Melbourne.
Yeah, same over here, mate. Dave, it finally looks like we're getting that synergy in the forward line between the three tolls. It's still a work in progress. However, the amount of ball we're getting in there, you know, my question is, would it be fair to say we should see that area continue to improve? And if the synergy drops off, where does the buck stop?
Look, I think it's just a matter of, you know, ball games. You know, we need a turnover and McGovern and Big Harry McKay down there, they've just got to, you know, they've got to put 20 games together to really work out, you know, what their role is there and where they fit in the equation and what's going to be best for the team and also best for them. So that just doesn't happen in four or five games. And, yeah, that really happens over 10, 30, 40 games sort of thing, but when they can really pick it. But it's a work in progress at the moment, and I think the board hasn't been too bad. It's true. I think we've been, the Zoe out there, questions, you know, Tankerton, big successful path, and McGovern's pretty mobile, and then probably Charlie's been the one who's been a little bit disappointing this year, but he showed some good signs last week as well, so hopefully he's on the way back to good form as well.
Yeah, too true, and it's just knowing which way players run, you know, those little intuitive things.
Yeah, exactly. And you've got players coming off the back line and you've got to work out, you know, their little, everyone's got their little idiosyncrasies of how they play and how, you know, their style of play. And it takes time, but, you know, it just doesn't happen overnight. So, the good thing is that these
calling from today, Hyphen? You're crackling up a little bit on us there today.
Oh, I'm just getting to with the form right in front of me and going to put my tennis club on slightly and might have a solve one while I'm in there, but or two or three, enough before I can start my car and drive home anyway. And,
No worries, mate. Good work. Throw over to Mel.
Morning, Hive.
Hello, Mel.
I'm good, thanks. Good. I think we're actually fairly composed at the back end of all the quarters in that game, even that last quarter. But a few things just seem to conspire against us, including the umpires. How important, though, are players like Simo, Liam Jones, Nick Newman, just to add the extra composure and experience in certain situations to get us over the line and turn these close ones into 20 and 30-point wins?
Yeah, experience off the shelf in the supermarket. It's got to be earned, and that comes out of, long period of time. And it'd be great to have Simo and Doherty and Jones in the back line this week. We've got a couple of, Newman does come back in, but once again, he's a new player into that back line as well. And McCready comes in, and he hasn't played a lot, in the back half, over the last few years. So, when these new faces do come in, it takes them a little bit of time as well, but, they just adjust and work out their surroundings and work out their role in it as well. And we've probably got a little bit of an unsettled background this week going into this match, which is a worry because GWS was last week, probably one of the best scoring teams in the competition. So it does sort of, there has some red flags up at the moment. You think, I hope this match has to hold together because, we have got a bit of experience lacking in there.
Mate, it's Craig here, sorry, Hyfe, but yep. Just tomorrow, obviously, you just touched on it then, Giants over there at their dung heap, and they're obviously coming off a stinging loss last week against the Hawks. Now, typically they play well at home, but, we're thinking we're a realistic opportunity to cause an upset this round, so any comments, mate, do you think we're a good hard crack at taking them out tomorrow?
Oh, no, look, I think it was a couple of years ago we knocked them off up there, and it was a great win also over in Bali at the time. Washington over in Bali. It was a great win, but everyone's going to have to be spot on their game, and it's really going to be. But look, we've been in, besides the North Melbourne match, we've been in every game. We've been a chance to win all of those games. So I think we'll be in a similar position. I just hope that we can get that little ounce of luck, which we. I think Mal mentioned before, we just sort of lacked in that last 5 minutes. A bad decision or something happens and it always seems to go against us. The ball bounces the wrong way and it seems to be on the wrong end of it. So, I think any team that plays it seems like they're going to come against the hard match.
We talked about the other guys stepping up, other than Crippo, like the other Kerno McKay, once they start. Taking more of that leadership onus and stepping up, but look, to win this game we need more than Cripper in the midfield. So who do you see stepping up in the engine room, mate, and taking up some of the load? Fisher and SBS have been going great guns. Murph played for his career last week and had a great game. Dow, he had one of those games again where he kicked a few grubbers and toe pokes into the turf and other fluffs. So, we got to remember he's a second-year player.
Yep.
Is it his turn this week to step it up and turn it on?
Yeah, look, I think Paddy Dow's been pretty good. I think lost a little bit of confidence in his kicking that we can see. But other than that, he's getting the ball. And you did mention Mark Murphy. He's the real key there because he's the one, the best-known player. But, he's been around a long time. He was terrific last week. I did give him a little bit of a pop before the game. Maybe that message got across to him, but he did, he stood up last week, and so he should have. And hopefully he continues that form on because he does. It releases the pressure off Ripper, and teams are going to, while you've got one dominant player in there, they're going to focus all their attention on him, and it does allow the others to probably get a bit of an easier ride, but there's quite a few of them. Sam Walsh, look,
Yeah, well, you're breaking up a little bit there. We're going to try one more question. Right, we're going to try one more question, mate. I'll throw you over to Mel for one more.
Are you there, Hive?
Yeah, still here.
Yeah, just wanted to touch on the passing of Bob Hawke, who presented you your 1987 Norm Smith Medal. And, mate, how do you reflect on that?
Oh, yeah, well, I actually met Bob before that because he was a North South Melbourne supporter too. So, and then Sydney Swans when they went up to Sydney. So I'd actually met Bob before then, before I joined Carlton. And, yeah, it's always good. I mean, sad he was passing and all the things. I think that it was the best way to see him by 100 miles, to be honest, in my lifetime anyway. So, not about type of growth and really enjoyed a beer and enjoyed a good time and of course didn't put up all this PC rubbish that goes on these days.
Absolutely. Passing of an icon there. Mate, we do have to wrap it up. We've got a bit to go through. But, mate, as always, we really do appreciate your time. Even though today it sounded a little bit like we're in the twilight zone there, breaking up. But, mate, you get that sometimes on radio. It's no one's fault. But, mate, again, thanks very much for being a great friend of the WA Blues. All the WA supporters over here are loving the show, mate. You're doing a great job. Thanks for supporting us. On behalf of all the WA Blues community, enjoy the game tomorrow when we smash the Giants. And as always, go Blues, mate.
Go the Blues for sure. All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dave.
Cheers,
Hive. Good
thanks,
on you, mate.
Thanks, mate. Sorry about that there, folks listening out there. Just a little bit of issue with the reception, obviously. So, typical Melbourne infrastructure, eh?
Mm.
So he said that Bob went for South Melbourne, did he say?
Yeah, he said that.
He was
right.
A South Melbourne man, yeah.
And then
ironically,
Sydney.
Then the hyphen's gone over to Carlton, where Malcolm Fraser was a big...
Yeah, yeah, massive Carlton
man.
Man
that Bob dethroned was a massive Carlton man as well.
Massive Carlton man.
He hobbed with the knobs in his time, the hyphen.
Yeah, he sure did. I remember hearing some anecdotes from Alex Marku about, some enjoyable times at the Lodge with Malcolm Fraser.
Absolutely. Now, Andy, have you got a whack for us on the weekly whack, mate?
Yeah, and I'm going to upset the hype here because I'm going to get a little bit PC. and I'm going to actually whack the whackers. Now, we all know that footy's a pretty passionate game. We all say and do some silly things when the game is hanging by a thread. Having said that, when you're in the public, particularly at the game, you're better off swallowing your pride and copping ribbings from opposition fans on the chin. Having personally experienced ugly parent syndrome and ugly supporter syndrome in full flight, this is a reminder to solve your problems with words and not fists. My weight goes out to anyone who punches on at footy matches and anyone who punches on in society in general. For those who got into fisticuffs at the Carlton vs Collingwood match last Saturday, grow up, take ownership of your feelings and stop the pointless violence, please. We don't want our game to end up like soccer where fans are segregated. Enjoy the banter, don't take it personally, and again, take ownership of your feelings.
Well, well said. Pretty powerful stuff, but spot on. And Mel is waving her fist madly out there. What do you got for us, Mel?
Mel's about to give you a whack.
I know exactly what you're talking about here, Andy. And how proud am I to be a Carlton member when the club has actually named and shamed those involved in the incident and they have revoked their membership. They want nothing to do with it. And I back the club 100%.
So do I. And naming and shaming does provide a much stronger deterrent. No one wants that out there. It looked terrible. They look like idiots. They're doing it in front of kids. So naming them and shaming them, no better deterrent in my book. I reckon that was fantastic.
Not sure the Collingwood Club have actually named and shamed who was involved.
Oh, a little bit of a whack for our friend Gary Wright there. Bang! Well done, Mel. Nice work. Just a reminder, everyone, round 11 on the... Oh, let's go back to the run sheet, to that one there for our the Bombers game. 2nd of June, wasn't it? 11 games.
Sorry, mate.
2nd of June. Well, we're
in 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
In a couple of weeks' time.
Fantastic.
On a Sunday, 1:20 p.m. bounce down. That much I do remember. At the Empire, guys, we've got a really special raffle item here. This one, definitely, if we auctioned it off, we'd get a couple of grand for. It's co-signed captain's jumper. So it's the Carlton Football Club Guernsey, co-signed by Patrick Cripps and Sam Doherty. Comes with the AFL Certificate of Authenticity. It's got the custom framed by our friends at Master Picture Framers with the photos in there, the beautiful plaques by Allmark and Associate. Mate, these sponsors are just doing an amazing job. Everyone that's winning these raffle prizes are getting blown away. $5 a ticket, 3 for $10. All of our raffles are registered. Get down to the Empire for the Bombers game, guys. We want another 100 people. Minimum, maybe 150 light round six. We got the kiddies event on, so whoever wins the kiddies game at halftime will be invited into the studio to sit with us and ask a few questions to the hyphen and whichever hero we get on for an interview. So, Bombers game, round 11.
On that Cripper that you just mentioned then, and we touched on politics before, just remember to vote, and I'll be voting for Cripper for PM today, so I'm going to draw my own little box on the voting slip and tick his name off.
Well, tell me where you put in your little box and I'll put mine in there too.
Well, I might be voting for Andy Jones after his powerful campaign speech earlier on about the violence in footy. That was very, very impressive and extremely powerful.
So. Well, I do love hockey.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He's iconic, and but I do. One of the things I remember about Hawking talking about sport was when he did actually try to bat in a game of cricket, and it was all over the news. It was one of the most embarrassing looking hook shot, whatever it was.
Yeah, it was a hook shot, mate.
Play, and cops it in the spectacles.
Yeah,
you know, he should have been walking around after that with a monocle. That would have looked great, but. It was like watching Johnny Howard bowl and all of these politicians. Stick to politics.
Yeah.
Stay off the field. Stay on the other side of the white line. And that's my whack to the politicians this week is stay off the field, guys. Stick to what you're best at and let the professionals do their thing on the field. Guys, that's about all we have time for today. It was a fun show.
Yeah. Great show. Yeah. Well done.
And we've got a big one tomorrow against the Giants. So looking forward to that one. And as always, we say, go Blues.
Go the Blues.
Go the Baggers.